thanks a lot, Josh Mantel, for joining me to talk about what's commonly known as the BLM methane rule. First of all, what does this rule do? Give us a primer, will you?
Late last year, the Bureau of Land Management finalized a set of guidelines that they've been working on for a number of years that would reduce the amount of methane waste that was released into the air during oil and gas operations on federal and tribal lands. So up to about 40 to 45% of methane waste, which is basically the main component of natural gas, would be captured and put into pipelines and sold to the American people.
That sounds like a pretty good deal.
About $330 million worth of natural gas is wasted every year through venting and flaring, which is the intentional release and intentional burning. Everybody knows the flares, and through leaks, which are, you know, just common issues with infrastructure where the natural gas kind of gets leaked out of wellheads and pipelines and things like that.
Does this particular rule replace anything?
It updates about 30-year-old guidelines that are significantly out of date and have not been that helpful in kind of containing this problem that we've seen growing. I mean, as you can imagine, with the rise in different types of drilling technologies, we've seen that rules that were in place 30 years ago are not sufficient enough. And so what happened is the Bureau of Land Management, after some goading from some nonpartisan sources like the Government Accountability Office and the Inspector General, realized that there was this significant problem that was not being addressed. And so they sought to figure out how to update these rules in a way that would reduce waste while not hurting the oil and gas industry.
Well, the oil and gas industry, according to reports and opponents of the rule, argue that this will add costs to oil and natural gas drilling on federal lands. How much are we looking at here? How much of an addition to costs?
So studies have shown that it's really fairly minimal. There's some short-term cost, about a penny per metric cubic feet of gas produced is needed at the beginning to really, it's really about updating the technology and the infrastructure that's used. And then, of course, once that is in place, then they will be capturing more and more of this gas. And so over time, they will actually see a significant benefit.
What kind of benefits?
Like I said, about $330 million worth of gas, that's, you know, gas sold on the market, is being wasted. And so as they capture more of this, that's more profit for them, more royalties to local communities and the American people from more gas being put into pipelines and sold.
Last week, Congress voted not to continue the debate that could have led to the repeal of the rule, and that, in essence, left the rule in place. And if I understand the Congressional Review Act, or the CRA, it seems like the methane rule really dodged a bullet. And it was the reason why Republican Arizona Senator John McCain voted against the debate. Can you talk a little bit about the Congressional Review Act?
So the Congressional Review Act is a pretty extreme tool that before this year in this Congress had only been used once in its history. Not only would it repeal the rule, but it would prohibit the government from ever issuing a rule that is similar in the future. You know, we saw this Congress 13 different rules governing everything from protection of waterways from coal mining waste to, making sure that mentally disabled people can't buy guns. All these different kinds of regulations were repealed using this rule. And the BLM methane rule was the only one that actually survived this kind of onslaught. And what we saw is that some real independent-minded senators decided that this tool was not the right tool to use, that while they may have had some specific issues with the rule, they would go forward and use other ways so that we could really deal with this problem of waste. I mean, this is a significant problem, and really the oil and gas lobby in Washington, D.C. was the only people who really did not want this problem to be dealt with. And so we really saw 51 senators stand up with the American people against the kind of special interests who are trying to kind of take over Washington and really run the show there.
Well, according to an article in TheHill.com, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke last week told Senator Rob Portman of Ohio in a letter that no matter what happens with the repeal vote, BLM would, quote, take concrete action to reduce methane waste, including expediting pipeline permits and encouraging the use of methane at drilling sites. And I'm wondering if you think that these efforts would actually reduce methane waste. And are we trading one victory for another problem in the form of pipelines?
Well, in terms of the second point you mentioned, using methane at drill sites, I mean, that's been accepted practice for decades and is explicitly mentioned in the rule as an acceptable way of doing it. So by keeping the rule in place, you know, that's dealt with. In terms of pipelines, you know, studies have shown, and we've seen a few of these in regards to some of the wells in specifically North Dakota, that the lack of pipelines isn't a reason that methane is released into the atmosphere. I don't think pipelines is the answer to the problem. The problem is the venting, flaring, and frankly, the leaks. I mean, more pipelines isn't going to solve leaking from existing pipelines. So, you know, with all due respect to the secretary, you know, we should be working together to figure out the problems with this. But I do not believe that more pipelines is necessarily the answer to the problem that we're facing.
How will this rule be enforced? I mean, is the Bureau of Land Management up to the enforcement task?
Well, I think that's up to the Bureau of Land Management. You know, under the statutes that they operate under, the 1920 Mineral Leasing Act says that the Bureau of Land Management has an obligation and a mandate to reduce the waste of publicly owned resources. And so, you know, if they are derelict in their duties, then I have no doubt that the American people will make sure that they know and that the proper measures will be taken to make sure that they enforce the rules on the books.
Could defunding enforcement of the rule be one way to derail this?
Certainly, we've seen Congress try and put these legislative, what they're known as riders, these kind of policy provisions on funding bills in the past. We have no doubt that there will be certain members that will try that, but the Wilderness Society and other of our partner organizations are certainly on the lookout for that. And we know that we have champions in the United States Senate, like Senator Bennett, who will also be on the lookout for those things and working to make sure that those don't happen.
And when does this rule go into effect?
It started to go into effect in January. So it's already in effect, although some of the provisions are in effect gradually, are implemented gradually so as not to, you know, disrupt the business of or the oil and gas industry. I mean, we want certainty for the oil and gas industry. We don't want anybody to have a shock to their system from some of this stuff. The goal is not to reduce the drilling that is going on and is necessary in some places. The goal is to make sure that when drilling does occur, that the American people are seeing a fair return and that our public health isn't endangered by this stuff. So safe and responsible oil and gas development is paramount for this rule, and it's why the rule was put in place.